Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the same van that was used for the out-of-town family and friends to travel to the Liberty Bowl and to the game.
So this is basically how RJ Hampton's family travels to Memphis. They drive up from Dallas to Memphis every week to work out with Penny Hardaway. And they do it in a Sprinter van.
Does this family call their van the party bus?
I will ask. They might.
Might have lights on in it and all
they
that.
They might. Yeah, they may call right. it. I mean, RJ, Rod might call it a party bus. Because Rod thinks every time he's around, it's a party. But there is a certain connotation. There is no question.
Yeah.
But like if the original story would have been, it was an extended, it's just not as salacious, is it? Because when you describe it as
it changes the whole story, John. It does. Can't sit up here and play.
It does. It just is what it is. It is what it is. And, there before the grace of God go I, right, on situations like this. But it appears to be inaccurate.
I feel Jonah's sitting there apologizing over the week for something he got right. Turns out. It wasn't a party bus, and that was the point.
Well, I don't know.
Hell, is it even 20?
Well,
John,
Jonah was not – okay, so Jonah was not refuting – Jonah was refuting the Houston ESPN report that there was an outbreak.
Okay.
So he was – Jonah was wrong.
He said, this is not true.
Yeah, he refuted the initial report about the outbreak.
But haven't they said 20 positives?
Memphis has not said 20 positives. Memphis has said a significant number of – positive cases. They have not put a number on it publicly.
But if it's not 20 positives, then Jonah could turn out, you're right, on the party bus, but Jonah could still turn out to be right. But it's not 20 positives.
But they were
especially if it's 11.
But see, the thing with Jonah, though, is because, and again, I'm not trying to get into,
No, because I think Jonah got, he had to go back out and say when he shouldn't have had to,
well,
frankly, because there's a good chance.
But the other part of the Houston report was that the game was in jeopardy. Right? It was an all-encompassing tweet. Right? And Jonah responded to it and said, I've been told this is not true.
Yeah, but even if it's just the 20 not being 20, Jonah turns out to be right. That's my whole point.
If it's 18, is Jonah right? If it's 12, is Jonah right?
If it's 11, he's right.
But it's still the spirit of it is that there was an outbreak. He said it wasn't true. I mean, so the number is inconsequential, honestly.
Well, I guess if you're going to argue spirit of this thing with the
right,
party
well,
bus.
It's the same thing, yeah.
I guess. I'm trying to help Jonah here. I don't think it was necessary.
I don't think the apology
from him was necessary because, well, again, there's a good chance. We're not talking about 20 guys here.
Yeah. Well, Jonah didn't report. He didn't write it. He tweeted it was wrong, whatever. We move on. But this one I think is – all that being said, I also don't think the answer for Ryan Silverfield is to admonish the media. Or restrict access, because that was something, quite frankly, you engender yourself to media that way, and it can be very beneficial for you, and it helps you a long way in the community. I don't think the answer is to cut off media access. This happens. Unfortunately. But I don't think to make this a blanket statement about the media is the right way to go about it either.
Well, Ryan's got here's my deal. I understand why he's frustrated, because again, this program becomes the butt of jokes, over this for a time. Again, though, you can jump on that, and from the same standpoint, right? We said that, we were saying how Silverfield, before he got the job, how he gets it, right? He got relationships with every media member in town, it felt like. And that's the thing, too, that you actually can use to your advantage in times like these, where that report gets out, and if you're Ryan Silverfield, instead of allowing it to sit as long as you did, and again, this starts with the CA's report, but if you're Silverfield, those same relationships you got with all those media members, you can use to shut this thing down.
Yep.
To shut it down very early. And so from that standpoint, so again, I understand the frustration with the media today, but from that standpoint too, this could have been killed a lot earlier.
Well, that's definitely true.
You know, using those same relationships. And again, you know, we can say CA, all that, or got it wrong, but to punish the entire media,
right,
to make them the sort of, here's the problem, the entire media, it won't suit you in the same instance that, you know, you, it's a double-edged sword with the media. They can help you or they can hurt you.
Yep.
And in this case, when you admonish the entire media, right, instead of just the one organization, whatever else,
that
can turn against you. There's no question about it, particularly if you had time to shut this thing down yourself.
Yep.
You had time to shut it down yourself. And so part of that is first-year coaches shouldn't have to be going through this. That, you know, maybe it shouldn't be, but it absolutely, it's part of this too, is that you're going through something with COVID that you typically any other season you wouldn't have to worry about this, the kind of protocol. But here's this too, John, because this Silverfield said beforehand, wasn't going to talk about the cases, right, when it was small. Right, don't need a number. But he had said openly, if it gets to a point where there's an outbreak, I'll have to.
Exactly.
And so if we're saying that this is one of those, well, it's on you to either get out front of it or to respond quickly. And so again, I'd go back to the players were left out there to dry, really, left out there hanging for too long, right? Because the statement from Memphis only seemed to, at the time, confirm what was being reported by the CA.
Right.
This could have been shot down in different ways. Again, but I have a harder time being madder at Silver, right? Being more frustrated with Silverfield than you do on the report being wrong, to start this off.
Two wrongs don't make a right. Right? I mean, I believe that. I believe two wrongs don't make a right. I understand why you would absolutely be probably furious if you're Ryan Silverfield, because it's about how your program looks. It's all about how your program looks, because it's exactly like you said, this image of in the middle of a pandemic, you know, players renting out a bus and partying, you know, after a
win.
But
if you're that furious, why not shoot it down then on Friday?
Oh, no.
Kill it.
It was
so the narrative doesn't even get out, and it's all
it
over the
not,
weekend. And
it
we're
was
still
not,
saying on Monday, was it a party bus?
Right.
You could have killed it on Friday, basically.
It was not handled
if you're
well
that
by
hot,
anybody.
If you're that hot about it.
He's clearly hot about it.
But that's the point, is that you don't have to wait till Monday to kill that and to be – if you're that angry.
Right.
And he has right to be that angry. I'm saying it then. But the point would be for a first-year coach, you shut that thing down on Friday.
Yep.
You shut it down.
Yep.
But again, that's not to excuse the initial report. That's got you all off. But there's a way that this stuff gets shot, that you can kill this, and you had that opportunity before Monday. Again, it all starts, though, with the connotation that these guys, 20 of them, were on a party bus at least, that got it and doing the wrong things.
Right.
When, like we said in the open, frankly, these dudes should be getting – these college players, these student-athletes who aren't getting paid should be getting all the credit in the world for what they've put into it so far, all the protocol they have followed.
Yep.
It was bound to happen. You're going to have two guys get on a family bus or whatever, a family sprinter van, whatever it is. You're going to have these kinds of decisions. But this was not a group of guys throwing caution to the wind, say, oh, F the rules today because we beat Arkansas, which for too long seemed like the story.
Right. And so I don't know – sort of where it goes from here. I don't.
Hopefully they can play in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
That's where, I mean, hopefully you still get the Houston
game.
The fact is, though, how does Houston feel about it? Do we still feel good about the chance? Would they go add a game? They go add Baylor.
Yeah.
And you're saying not just postpone your game,
right,
go add a game that they could get beat up in. And I realize maybe Memphis and Houston are playing much further down the road, but you've added a game now to the schedule that could potentially hurt you before you play to Memphis. Hopefully that game could be made up.
Yeah. It's a hell of a question.
But you got to push the championship back, don't you? Because they got the no common dates or
on
whatever.
On the CA side of this, I have to believe that they were talking to somebody who absolutely was a great source, right? You don't put that out unless you have a great source.
That seems clear.
But
they felt it was a high-ranking person. I would assume.
But
that person had the wrong grip on the story.
That's it. I mean, that's how it happened. The interpretation by this source.
It's sort of like you're talking about with that.
That's
what was
exactly
your example
what it was.
Last
telephone.
Week with that telephone thing, the telephone game.
You know, that person's interpretation from what they heard, you know, or was party bus. And so then because you trust that, I mean, this is how reporting works. You know, you basically go with their interpretation of it, and unfortunately, their interpretation of it was wrong. So, I mean, that's kind of where we are. And you know, it happens in this business, right? It happens. Silverfield came out and addressed it today. All right, we will come back. Tim Brando's going to join us at 12:25. We will talk to him about college football, about the Big 12, and more. Jason and John, 93.9 FM, ESPN.
The Mid-South's number one for sports. WMFS-FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis. On the radio.com live and rewind anytime. Smart speakers just say play 92.9 ESPN.
The motto for world-class competition has always been faster, higher, stronger. It's the same for Navien, makers of condensing tankless water heaters. Faster to install and set up. Higher performance and efficiency to provide endless hot water. Stronger with the industry's strongest warranty. All because of the copper-free stainless steel heat exchanger built in every unit. Learn about Navien's condensing tankless water heaters and find a Navien contractor at tanklessmadesimple.com. That's tanklessmadesimple.com.
Let's be real. Mopping is a hassle. You have to fill the bucket, pushing a wet, heavy mop around, then cleaning the mop when you're done so it doesn't grow bacteria. A hassle on top of a hassle. Try Swiffer WetJet. With Swiffer WetJet, you start with a fresh pad and cleaning solution every time. And when you're done, you just toss the pad. Swiffer WetJet, the faster, easier, cleaner way to clean your floors.
If you plan to vote by mail, the U.S. Postal Service is here to deliver your vote safely and on time. We recommend you follow these steps to get ready. First, check your state's voting rules and deadlines. Second, request your mail-in or absentee ballot at least 15 days before Election Day. Finally, return your ballot at least 7 days before Election Day. Start today. Contact your election board and find resources at usps.com/voting info.
For muscle pain, body aches, to strains, Blue Emu Maximum Arthritis. It works fast and you won't stink. Its unique formula with emu oil penetrates deep to relieve arthritis pain, sore muscles, joints, and more.
Now, back to the Jason and John Show. Jason Smith and John Martin on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis's sports station.
Want to sell your home stress-free? And by stress-free, that means no worrying about getting it ready to list, no going back and forth on the pricing, no haggling. Who wants to haggle in the middle of a pandemic? All you have to do is email your home address to investor@livelovememphis.com. They're going to send you a free analysis. That's no obligation, no hassle, just an offer. investor@livelovememphis.com.
Or you can call 901-685-6000. Be like Rodney, be like me. Rodney heard about Live Love right here on the Jason John Show. Wasn't quite ready to sell, much like me, 2 years ago. But Jennifer Carstensen and her team talked him into it. And listen, it was a good thing, too, because as a result, of this market and inventory being so low, Rodney got $25,000 more than he thought he could when they first met. That's the work Jennifer Carstensen and her team over at Live Love going to do for you. They did it for me a couple of years ago, did it for Rodney, did it for Nate, did it for our man Kantar. Nothing but a bunch of success stories, so why wouldn't you call? 901-685-6000. Live Love Memphis Group at Remax Expert. They're at livelovememphis.com.
Every day around this time, we do the rundown. Let's go.
Now, it's the rundown presented by ExploreSt.Louis.com. The biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
I emailed investor@livelovememphis.com because I moved to 10 Street.
Oh, you funny.
And so did you.
Short stay for you, though.
Congratulations.
Really, we shouldn't even be here if Swift makes the catch in the end zone.
That's right.
We're on 101 Street.
That's right. So you should count your blessings today as well, good man.
I am.
We get a nice road win over the Carolina Panthers. Teddy Tuglove, very controversial decision did the Panthers make on 4th-and-1. They hand it off to their stud back, Alex Ahmad, or whatever the hell his name is.
Who?
Yeah, the fullback.
Right.
Not Christian McCaffrey.
Wrong dude.
Who does still play for them, I believe, and was having a pretty good day. Not great by his standards, but still, like, great for 98% of the rest of the
game. Yeah, and, like, 96 rushing, two touchdowns, and a couple of catches.
We did a pretty good job containing him, I thought. I think the Panthers' issue, obviously, is that they have nobody else to really beat you. And so we got lucky. We make a big stop on fourth down. You guys come back from what seemed like sure defeat. And thanks to a guy who you've been saying his time is coming.
I like when you break down the Bears. Go right ahead.
His time is coming.
Music.
Anthony Miller with a great catch, a great touchdown catch. I mean, fit that thing. Mitch Trubisky, I mean, he just fit that thing in there.
Looked like a different dude in the fourth, didn't he?
I think he's earned the right to start for the rest of the season.
Don't be a fool.
I think he has. He just got you a big win over a division rival.
Now, first off, we do own Detroit. I don't know what it is. Matt Patricia's going to get fired. Losing to a Bears team like he has. He's 0-5 now against Matt Nagy and the Bears. So as far as Detroit's concerned, man, that thing look a hot mess, especially after you take a lead. Freaking Adrian Peterson almost rushed for 100 yards. And you can't finish it off against, let's face it, a scrub quarterback who showed how scrub he was for the first three quarters of that game. Now, did he turn into freaking Hyde in the fourth quarter from Dr. Jekyll? I guess so. If Hyde's a hero in whatever sense, because he throws the 3 4th quarter touchdown passes all of a sudden, looking like a magic man again. Now, some of that I'm gonna say is on the Bears.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to make this dude Nagy is, man, something he's not in terms of keeping him in the pocket, making quick decisions, all that. A la, you know, for the most part, Mahomes having control in the sense of this. You control an offense with so many weapons that all you got to do is really just stand there and not mess it up. Sure, Mahomes got some mobility, but that ain't the way he kills you. Trubisky, frankly, has some standout athletic ability, but the Bears too busy trying to make him something else, a pocket quarterback, whatever else. If you just let this guy react, because forget the read, because there ain't much reading with Mitch Trubisky. I won't go there. But if you just let him react, the dude can actually do some things because of his athleticism, and that's
right.
What was happening in the fourth quarter. Clearly a Bears team up against the wall. Right, he just starts playing football and stops thinking, makes the pass to Anthony Miller there, gives you – and again, all that said, Bears still could have lost the game, should have lost the game, quite frankly. Swift catches the touchdown pass in the end zone, the running back. That was a game winner for them. So Stafford really had them in position to come back and win it after dropping it. So you can't put too much stock in it.
Yep.
Bears could be looking at 2-0, though, because they got the Giants next week. We'll see a little bit more about the Giants tonight after they play Pittsburgh. That said, good weekend, clearly, for the Chicago Bears, for the Las Vegas Raiders. But, John, frankly, that's all we need to say about it, because neither one of us going to the playoffs this year.
Yes, that's true.
You can forget that.
No, you make a good point. But let me enjoy just a week one win. It's not often that we start the season off with a win.
You realize we hadn't won an opener since 13?
Wow.
So that's why that's why Jason's getting a little time here.
I see what you did with the Gladys Knight there, by the way. You didn't catch that.
He didn't, but I appreciate you catching it, Brad. You caught it like
that
a fastball.
That was smooth.
You caught it like a fastball, dead red.
Yeah, I don't
right
do
down the middle.
Dude, I mean, that was poetry on the radio, John Martin.
He,
for God's sakes, how can you not recognize Gladys Knight?
He don't make those references for me.
Bro,
those references.
They're true prep there.
For the listener who's tuned in and for the program director.
Yeah.
Holy
exactly.
Mess, dude.
Yeah, he don't make those for me. That's
for one of us.
Any other great takes from week one, John?
Great takes. Man, that's a lot of pressure.
Important
here.
Takes? Well, how does your Tampa Bay team that's going to win the Super Bowl, according to you, how do they look?
Like they had Jameis back there still.
And that fool was in the building watching.
It was the Jameis Winston Bowl, man. They did it for Jameis. They kicked the crap out of the Bucs. Let's be honest, the Saints did. I mean, they scored garbage time, but that was just an absolutely. I mean, that was a drubbing. And Drew Brees wasn't even great. I mean, that's the thing about it.
Nope. He's 42.
I am going to chalk it up to this is Tom Brady's first.
Yeah.
Go around.
I'm not going to go as far as Fitzy did with you and say that this ain't a playoff.
Because
game.
I still believe they have so much talent.
And we'll say he said that before the season, so we'll see. But.
They have so much. I mean, Godwin, Evans is kind of hobbled. He still got a touchdown. You got Gronk. You got O.J. Howard. Like, I think it's entirely possible that they just ran into a buzzsaw. Like, they just ran into the best team in the NFC yesterday in the Saints. And, like, they're going to look good. They're going to have days where they look awesome. And I think by the time they play the Saints again, it's going to be a very different football game. But it was definitely a very inauspicious debut for Tom Brady because, I'll be honest, I expected him to come out and be incredible. He had a lot to play for. It's his first time with a different team. He got a lot to prove. You know, he watched Cam and the Patriots earlier that day do their thing. Cam's got two rushing touchdowns. You know,
they ran him too much, though. We get to that later.
Bill Belichick starts his post-Tom Brady life 1-0.
He did.
Using that dude as a battering ram.
Well, that's how you almost have to use him in 2020. I hate to say it because his arm.
I think you're right. Yeah.
His arm's just not what it was.
They got no receivers, though.
Well, that's true. I mean, his weapons are very limited. But that's what I'm saying. To get the most out of him, you got to run him. Like, you got to draw some stuff up for him. But I thought Tom Brady was going to come out and be really awesome, and he wasn't. And he looked old, dude. I'm sorry. He's 43. He looked like he just looked 43. Like, there's a time where he got sacked. This dude was crawling on the field for like 12 seconds. I'm like, anybody going to help him up? I mean, he's not popping up like he used to. I mean, he's old. Remember, he's 43.
As soon as he got with the Bucs, he was on a high school field or whatever throwing routes to him. Well, last night it didn't look like it had paid off for him at all. Like, he was pushing it to the limit even through the COVID times in terms of the gatherings and all that. Like, he wanted to get that jump start, right, on getting familiar with his receivers and getting that chemistry built early in the offseason. Wasn't that offense didn't near look like it had done any extra work.
Now I'm gonna as somebody who even had the Saints minus
preseason,
three yesterday,
I guess would have helped that a little bit, but he looked like a 43-year-old quarterback.
Yep. I had the Saints minus three yesterday, so I knew that they were going to lose, but I did not expect it to look that bad.
You said a team's going to win a division. Are you ready to change that?
Mm-hmm. Well, probably need to.
I mean, that was the most important game if it's in terms of the division and winning it.
Oh, I thought the Bucs were going to be a Super Bowl contender.
Yeah, you look like a fool.
I look like an idiot.
Yeah, that was a strong – and we went strong with it.
Oh, I look like an idiot.
You felt it. You're right, Brad.
It was not a relenting
like
type of a
well, because I watched a lot of the – I watched a ton of the Bucs last year because I had Jameis as my fantasy quarterback. Mm-hmm. And so I watched – and Godwin. So I had a lot of time that I had spent with the Bucs, and I was like, man, if they just had a quarterback that wouldn't turn it over 30 times a year – they probably
– we literally sat here and said that'll be what he does that Jameis couldn't do. Jameis had the 30 picks. Tom's not going to do it.
Yeah.
Tells you a pick six and another one.
Yeah, so
– I think I heard Jeff say, too, the stat it's somewhere. Maybe it was Jeffrey Wright say, he's thrown a pick six in three straight games?
Yeah, because
Tom Brady,
Titans.
Going, okay, that's right.
Titans. Yeah.
Going back to last
Logan
year.
Logan Ryan into the game on the pick six.
Oh, that's right.
I don't remember the one before that. But I'll never forget that game
again,
because
years old.
That was the game – I believe I was in – no, I wasn't in Tampa that day, actually. I don't. Maybe I was. Maybe I was in Tampa that day. I think I was in Tampa the day that they beat the Ravens. I think that's the one where I had to face the mute. That was, like, the real one. Like, Tom Brady was on his last legs there in New England. Everybody knew it. But when you beat the Lamar Jackson, the freaking Ravens, that's when it's just impossible for me to hide from. But, no, I think at this point we need to focus on the wild card. In Tampa, we can probably get that. But
here we go, Jason. It's the pivot.
No,
he's pulling it back a little bit.
Yes. Well, the thing about the Saints, man, is that Michael Thomas was totally neutralized, and they still won by friggin' two scores.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't close.
What are we talking about here? So anyway, that was my big takeaway. Is that it's going to take some time for Mr. Brady, 43 years old. It is not going to happen overnight with him.
I guess you could go a bunch of different ways here. But I'm going to tell you this right now. Philadelphia in trouble.
Man.
They're in big trouble.
Somebody has to win the NFC East. It looks like it's going to be by default this year.
Yeah.
Again, I expect Dallas to get on some kind of same page offensively eventually. And, again, you're opening up the Rams Stadium, so you got a lot working against you there. You could even argue got a bad call there.
Yeah, no,
you
could argue they got screwed.
Okay, so it probably is, and especially with what we've seen. But a Philly team that jumps out early, but then allows its quarterback, who's been beat up his whole career, to take 8 sacks with all the pressure that they were facing with the way that offensive line is broken down here in the preseason, offseason, everything else, right? They've had to move Jason Peters over to left tackle, pay him more money because they know, I mean, he's going to be on the right side. That what we're asking right now, asking him to do, is crazy. Well, let's pay him some. Well, it didn't work yesterday. He gives up 8 sacks. Washington, a team we'd all said, my gosh, look at the disarray that whole franchise is in. Rivera having to go get IVs at halftime. Yeah. They come back and beat you with 8 sacks, make you look terrible, just out physical you. And again, that's a Philly team that was expected to compete with Dallas for the NFC East crown. You're not going to be able to if you can't protect Carson Wentz. That was oogly. And they didn't have Miles Sanders either, did they?
He was out for the game. He's hurt.
That's honestly,
DEFCON needs to change up in Philly.
Yes, I agree. That looks like some worry.
That's not a playoff team.
Here's the thing. They don't have weapons, and they don't have an offensive line.
I mean, when you're talking about like DeSean Jackson, your best receiver?
No.
That was 10 years ago. He's still in the league.
Still in the league, still getting targets.
I cannot believe he's still in the league. And they got the kid Rager, who might be good. They got a couple couple guys who might end up being good, but they have no line. That's honestly, you should just roll that team yesterday,
man.
You should roll
and start out looking that way.
Yeah.
Yep.
And
jumped out.
Those
on
are two slot teams. Those were both slot teams.
Philly should be better.
Well, and only one of them is supposed to be.
Yeah.
Right. Only one.
No, I think they're both better than that. Yeah.
I know. I can only imagine what Philadelphia radio sounds like today.
Oh, I bet it's fun.
Them folks mad as hell.
Oh, they get pissed, man.
Them folks mad as hell.
Our man Gibson rushed for 4 carry, had 9 for 36. Looked like they're going to give Peyton Barber a lot of carries.
Yeah.
We saw the way that played out. Barber got the 2 touchdowns. His average per carry is still the same as it usually is for him, a little bit less than 3 yards. But he got more of the carries yesterday, and I figured at least for the time being it's going to continue that way, and they'll sprinkle in some Antonio Gibson, again, the former Tiger, going for 36 on 9 carries yesterday.
Yeah.
Not bad, crazy enough. No, especially for your debut.
So there we go. All right, we'll come back. Tim Branham's going to join us. We'll talk to him about college football over the weekend. We'll get his thoughts on this Memphis football story, right? I mean, it's quite the doozy. Lots to get to with Tim Branham. We'll do that next. Jason and John, 92 FM, ESPN.
Hey, it's Brad Carson for my friends at Old Dominic, a proud hometown partner of our Memphis Tigers, located in the heart of downtown Memphis with a 150-year-old story that's been revived and ready to be shared. And you can get all the info at olddominic.com on the one-of-a-kind spirits made right here in the Bluff City. Ask your favorite spirit shop where you can find Old Dominic products, enjoy them during the game. And you can also follow Old Dominic Distillery on Facebook and Instagram for more news and info, like the brand-new Hewling Station whiskey there. It hits the shelves just in time for football season and cooler weather. These small batch whiskeys are perfect for the seasoned whiskey drinker. Whiskey newcomers will love them too. You can enjoy them neat over ice or in an old-fashioned whiskey cocktail. Set the bar with Hewling Station from Old Dominic this football season. Plus, try Old Dominic's Memphis Vodka, the Formula Number 10 Gin, and their Memphis Toddy, which is perfect for football weather. Just like the Tigers, Old Dominic spirits are 100% pure Memphis. That's Old Dominic Distillery and Old Dominic Spirits, 100% pure Memphis. Share a sip from your hometown brand this football season, and go Tigers go! Old Dominic encourages all fans to share a sip responsibly.
This is Gary Parrish reminding you that the Smile Center is where I go to the dentist. It's where my entire family goes to the dentist. And the reason it's great is because the folks at the Smile Center take care of you and treat you like family. You don't feel like you're going to the dentist as much as you feel like you're going to see friends. So if you're looking for a new dentist, look no further than the Smile Center. It's Dr. Mady Sadeghi's place at 1941 South Germantown Road. They are open and treating patients, and needless to say, they're taking all of the necessary health precautions to keep you and your family safe. Yes, the Smile Center is currently accepting new patients, and they're offering Zoom teeth whitening specials with free consultations through the end of September. So if you're unhappy with your smile, the color of your teeth just isn't quite right, let the Smile Center fix that for you. Appointments are available right now. You can schedule one by calling 901-309-1333. Again, the address is 1941 South Germantown Road, Suite 101, and the phone number is 901-309-1333. That's the Smile Center on the web, smilecentermemphis.com.
All right, listen up. Bedbugs,
yeah.
Go up the middle, along the mattresses. Roaches,
yeah.
To a zone everywhere there's a crack. Ground recluses,
yeah.
You're on surprise defense. Anywhere you can hide. Now let's take that house.
Right.
Pests have a game plan. So should you. Get Allied Termite and Pest on your team. They'll talk with you, understand your full situation, and create a custom, safe, and efficient treatment strategy for your home.
We're up against Allied Termite and Pest? I'm throwing in the towel.
Beat the bugs. Visit AlliedPestControl.com today.
Now, back to the Jason and John Show. Jason Smith and John Martin on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis' sports station.
Tim Branham is a college football play-by-play man analyst for Fox Sports. Had a big weekend. Lots to get to. on college football. Let's make him the Giant Interview.
Now, it's the Giant Interview, presented by King of Clean, with electrostatic cleaning, pressure washing, and much more for Memphis and the Mid-South. The King of Clean Giant Interview on 92.9's Jason and John Show.
Tim, how's it going, man? Appreciate the time.
Jason, John, good to be with both of you today.
Yeah, we always love having you on, absolutely. So before we get to the national scene in college football, Tim, are you familiar with what is happening with Memphis football, the latest?
I heard about it as I was making my drive out, an 11-hour drive from Lawrence back home to the Chateau yesterday. I decided to forego the airport whenever possible during COVID-19. My wife took the trip with me. It's a pretty easy four-lane highway drive all the way through. You just keep going through Oklahoma all the way into Topeka and follow through to Lawrence. So I heard a little bit about it late in the night on Saturday and into yesterday. But if you're saying within the last few hours or since this morning, no, I haven't heard anything new. You can enlighten me.
Yeah, so here's the latest. So the initial report by the commercial appeal here was that there was a quote-unquote party bus that the players that certain players got on after the win against Arkansas State, and that sort of was tied to the outbreak. And the University of Memphis did confirm that there is a significant number of positive cases in the program. However, today, Ryan Silverfield, the head coach, publicly came out and refuted that and said it was not a party bus, but it was an extended van with a couple of players got on with family members that drove in from out of town. How important is that distinction in your mind, party bus versus extended van with family?
I think it's worthwhile. Yeah, I think a lot of times, especially now during the COVID era, we had a similar situation that we had to tackle, by the way, with Kansas, where they had reported prior to the game this past week that there was a cluster within their program involving 14 or more of their own health department people. Kansas's HD, their health department, reported that. And in truth, it was 11 program members, but only three players. Well, when you hear 14 in a cluster and no one specifies whether it's you know, players versus trainers versus equipment people, you can see how that can blur the storyline to certain extents. And I think this sounds like blurred storylines, not necessarily the same kind of blurred storyline, but it happens. Look, we had no fans at the game in Lawrence the other night. Yet when Spencer Tillman and I were walking down from our hotel with our masks on, 3 hours before the game, we passed by, I can't tell you how many fraternity houses where the Patron was flowing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And people were side by side with no masks on. Now, the state of Kansas was allowing for 40% capacity. Kansas State earlier in the day played Arkansas State, and I'm sure you saw they had plenty of fans there.
Yep.
But in Lawrence, they didn't have any. So the school made that determination, not the health department in the local areas. So it's up to the schools to determine which way they want to go. But I think a lot of times, and colleges are finding this out now through public information, you also have to be mindful of HIPAA because everyone takes that seriously now with regard to the protection of information regarding health of any student, and particularly those that play. But, you know, the public information and sports information that's being disseminated to the media can get screwed up pretty quickly. And I don't know about you guys, but whether it's watching the Big Ten story unfold on Twitter or some of these COVID stories unfold on Twitter, it's almost as if, and listen, I engage. I've made my fair share of mistakes using social media. But you can really make a case now that whether it's following a news story like these that you're talking about or one relative to the Big Ten, where you're looking for information coming from this or that anonymous source. We could say what Les Miles used to say about LSU, Tiger Stadium, where teams' dreams come to die. You can make the case that now great journalists, Pulitzer Prize winning journalists, go to Twitter to see their journalism die. It's really sad. You know, when you're trying to get everything into 140 characters, it can really be a sham. And I think we see that over and over again. I certainly hope that everyone in and around the Memphis program is okay and that they can get back up and going again.
That's the main thing.
The control of COVID is something that I think we've found out through the start of the college football season we can handle. College football can be played, and it can be played safely during the COVID era.
You're exactly right, Tim. Like, this is these are unprecedented times, and therefore, like, how a certain school handles a story is, like, way, way, way down the list. But, you know, there was a 72-hour window, right, from Friday to, you know, I guess today, where Memphis football is probably getting killed across the country. Like, really, a party bust in the middle of a pandemic? Like, what's happening at that program?
Yeah.
Could that have been avoided by Memphis getting in front of – and again, I know you got HIPAA and you got a whole bunch of things, but should Memphis have, before that even became a thing, should they have released a statement sort of on their own volition?
Well, I think that's what everybody's having to learn. You know, and I'm not going to point a bigger finger at Memphis than any other school.
Right.
I think but that's what they're having to learn. You know, look at it this way, all right? I think we can safely say that the Big Ten hasn't gotten out in front of its own story with regard to starting football back up, have they?
No.
They really haven't. this anonymous source, that anonymous source, depending upon which writer with whatever website that's out there that's available on Twitter has something new to say about every 30 minutes. Well, the same is true, I think, and the responsibility does fall with regard to those programs in controlling their own messaging. And it's harder to do now because of what media has become. Okay, it's not just the commercial appeal, the local radio stations and television stations in Memphis. I'm familiar with that area. I've done, you know, through my years, if you go back and look through my four decades of doing this, I spent a lot of time in Memphis, did a lot of Memphis basketball games years and years ago. But now you have websites. A lot of these websites are, you know, rah-rah websites for the schools. Whether, you know, regardless of what particular site it might be, it could be Rivals, could be SB, it could be, you know, you name the site. It's harder to do, but I think with regard to the coaches and the trust level that they have with their sports information people and with sports information to the university's information location, they have to coordinate their own messaging to get everything out. And if you wonder sometimes why coaches are consistently telling legitimate sports media that they have no access anymore, that you can't come to practice, you can't bring any photographers with you, no moving video. It's these kinds of stories that are the reason why. You know, everyone gets scared. They shut everything off. They just shut it down. So it's really unfortunate. But that boat has sailed. I don't know. I wish I had an answer for you with regard to how we can get better control of it. But I just think we're sort of living in the wild, wild west of social media overtaking legitimate media, or at least the kind of media that we trusted for so many years.
You mentioned being in Lawrence. How shocked were you by what you saw, Coastal Carolina beating Kansas for a second straight year? And more, Tim, like the way it was this year, right? I think last year was 12-7, close game, relatively close. Coastal Carolina came right out and rolled. What'd you think of what you saw them beating Kansas? One of three Big 12s to go down.
As Spencer and I were preparing for the game just during the week, it looked to us and looked at film, you know, of Coastal Carolina's most recent game at the end of last year and Kansas's game at the end of last year. And by the way, this is a Kansas team that went on the road to Texas 3 weeks later and almost beat the Horns in Austin. Okay?
Yeah.
They lost 12-7 to Coastal Carolina. As a matter of fact, their next game, they went up to Boston College.
That's right.
And blew them out and got their first FBS road win in over a decade, okay, since Mark Mangino was coach. So that tells you something about the top-line talent at the Group of Five level. I already tweeted this out this morning, so you may have already seen it. And I'll also give you a scoop. I'm about to put my second top 10 out. You know, I had Iowa State as my national sleeper this year. I thought Iowa State was good enough to be ranked sixth in the country. Brock Purdy is an incredible returning quarterback. Chase Allen's a great wide receiver. Louisiana, the Raging Cajuns had better personnel on both sides of the ball. That's now, true. They used two kickoff returns as the key, a punt return and a kickoff return, to really extend themselves and win the football game. But Louisiana had better personnel in their top-tier talent. Coastal Carolina, I thought, physically owned the line of scrimmage. Mm-hmm. And Spencer felt the same way coming in. So to answer your question, no, we weren't stunned that Coastal Carolina controlled the game. We were surprised that they could not make the necessary adjustments until after halftime to deal with what Coastal was doing. They did make a little bit of a charge in the third quarter, but you saw the Chanticleers control the game again in the fourth quarter. Listen, all these Group of Five schools, and I know Memphis and a lot of the schools in the American don't like being lumped into that group, but right now they are. What the only difference between the Group of Five and the Power Five is the second and third line players. So when you get into midseason and you've got injuries and you get down into that depth chart a little bit, it hurts those schools at that level much more so than it does SEC, Big 12, ACC, and Big 10 schools. I mean, that's really the only difference. That and the fact that, again, I go back to the national media, because of the playoff and because the only thing anyone seems to care about is who are the top four. Mm-hmm. Every stinking week, all we care about is who the top four is. Not enough credit is given to those that go in and vanquish another. So you wake up this morning and what do you hear? All these bloviators doing talk television are telling us how the Big 12 sucks. Well, how about how good the Sun Belt is? How about how good the American is? How about how good Conference USA could be? All right. No one wants to cover them because they're too damn lazy to cover them. If you had looked more closely, you might have noticed that Louisiana won 11 damn games last year.
Oh, good.
Okay.
Yep.
That they've got a good quarterback. And, oh, by the way, the speed that they have on the edge is good enough to beat an Iowa State on the road. That's part of the problem that we have in college football right now. And until we expand this college football playoff to eight teams, we're not going to have the media paying attention to the Group of Five because it's going to be the same quartet every year. Clemson, Alabama, Ohio State, add another SEC team, Georgia, maybe LSU, could be Florida, maybe Oklahoma. Is Texas back? You know, I'm so sick of hearing, is Texas back? Every stinking year we hear, is Texas back? I'm going to see Texas in a couple of weeks. But you know what? Until they string together successive wins, going all the way back to when they beat Notre Dame, what was it, 4 years ago? Texas is back. No, Notre Dame had a losing season, and so did Texas. So it's just become all too typical, stereotypical, really, the coverage of college football. I think it's an embarrassment. And until we expand the college football playoff, I don't think a lazy media is going to be concerned with ever covering it in its totality.
Yep, I think you're right. We're talking to Tim Brando of Fox Sports. Always love having him on the show here on Jason and John. Just sort of your opinion, and if maybe you can't weigh in, certainly understand that. But, Tim, are you expecting there to be a vote by the Big Ten to play football starting in October? I mean, there's like a vote, and then there's going to be a vote to take a vote. And then a vote to take a vote to take a vote. But are you at this point sort of personally expecting to see Big Ten football in October?
All right. Well, October, I'm not going to go down that road. Sorry.
Yeah.
That speculation that's been out there. Look, I full disclosure, I work for a company that is invested in the Big Ten Conference, and obviously they are more in touch with the Big Ten than any, and I don't know anything because that's at a pay grade higher than mine. I do know this, the opinions that I gave to start this season as it related to college football being able to be played are still intact. For years, for decades, I've been saying college football needs universal leadership. And I don't know what more we need to prove my point than what happened these last 6 months. For 4.5 of those months, I was talking to athletic directors, talking to conference commissioners, all of whom were telling me how collegial their conversations were, how they were sharing information, how there were weekly Zoom calls, okay? And yet when it came time on the calendar to make a choice, every one of them went in a different direction, okay? First, the Big Ten and Pac-12 opted out.
Right.
Big Ten opted for a regular season with only Big Ten teams playing. Then 6 days later, they decided, you know what, we're not playing. Pac-12 followed them. Then we see the ACC say, well, we're going to play one non-conference game, and obviously they wanted to protect the crossover rivalries with the SEC with the hope that that would happen. And the SEC, who we thought had as good a relationship with the ACC as any other conference, said, you know what, no, we're just going to play our conference games and we'll start a week later than you. And then the Big 12 said, well, you know what, we've got games scheduled on September 5th. We'll have some open dates in between, have a little wiggle room in case of a COVID breakout, and we'll begin when we begin. So everyone went in a different direction. Every league has its own epidemiologist, okay? Every league. And yet 10 FBS schools, 10 FBS conferences, all right, five group of fives, five power fives, and they can't agree on an epidemiologist. Every one of them's got a different one. How does that happen? How can you not have specific medical protocols for all 10 FBS Division I conferences? How? And at the very least, in the Power Five, because you're in a consortium together to have a college football playoff, I mean, you're partners. You're in partnership. How can you not have a single set of rules and guidelines followed by all five leagues? That's not even in place. So, you know, we need a czar for college football. We've been needing it. And this year, what's happened with, I mean, it may have taken an international pandemic to prove my point, but it's there. We need someone to coordinate. And I'm not talking about stripping power from any conference commissioners. I'm not. I'm saying let's just have someone that can coordinate with all of the other commissioners so that we can do the same thing or something remotely similar, even though what's affecting you in your part of the country may be different than how it's affecting people in other parts of the country. We can get past some of these problems if we do something along those lines. The Big Ten is in a difficult spot, and I think they understand that now. Kevin Warren took over for Jim Delaney, who was the most powerful man in intercollegiate athletics, short of the late Mike Slive. And when Kevin came in with his NFL pedigree and his law degree, I think he did not understand the layers of bureaucracy to some extent of the college game. And I think that's maybe what we're finding out as time rolls on. The decision was made very early, and I think that was the issue. If the schools are concerned about the health and well-being, I think they all were. Everybody's concerned about the health and well-being of every student-athlete. We got that response over and over again from everyone we talked to. And I get that. I think that's genuine. I absolutely do. But college football is also a business, a very big business, and one that these institutions need. So as this thing has developed from last week into this week, and we hear about this particular meeting and the medical task force that's been assigned, now feeling optimistic and now moving and pushing this forward, if all this is true, then I think there's a very good chance that we may see in this calendar year college football from the Big Ten. But as it relates to as soon as October, fellas, I'm not taking the bait. I'm not going there. We'll see when it happens. You know, I sincerely hope that for all of college football, I hope that we can at some point see that it can be played in parts of the country where these young men believe that they have been put in a very difficult situation, and they have. They followed all the rules, followed all the protocols. There was never any talk of what happened at Nebraska or Ohio State, never any controversies there. And a guy like Justin Fields, think about it. Justin Fields has been more responsible, more accountable than just about any adult in this whole matter. He's got more to lose by playing than he does by not playing. I mean, if he doesn't play, he's still going to probably be the first or second quarterback taken in the draft. Yet he wants to play. He's leading the charge to play. A lot of times I think you see these things play out and you look in the mirror and you say, you know what, I think it's the young people that have this right, and the adults have to look at themselves in the mirror and wonder, what the hell happened to me?
Yeah. Tim, I gotta tell you, I'm guessing you probably didn't expect this to happen today, but Julie, who was listening to us, has tweeted in and she has let us know that she thinks she's fallen in love with you, and that she loves your viewpoints. Should I tell her that you're spoken for? Would you like me to just pass that along?
Yeah, you know, I appreciate that. I've always gotten along well with girls. I've got nothing but girls in my family.
There you go.
I have two lovely daughters. One is 37. The other is 30. Three grandkids. Two of them daughters. One grandson, and my wife Terry of 41 years made the trip to Lawrence and back with me. It's all Team Brando here, but the house here at Chateau Brando is pink, lavender, dusty rose, and mauve. So I've been in the pink for a long, long time here.
Yeah, you're outnumbered down there, man. You are absolutely outnumbered. Tim, we appreciate the time,
appreciate your time, sir.
I tell Julie, I'll tell her sometime in the future what I always say to my wife, yes, dear.
There you go. Thanks, Tim. Appreciate it, man. He is Tim Brando, Fox Sports play-by-play man. We're just, you know, we're making things happen here. Making things happen here on the Jason and John Show. But I believe Julie is also.
She's spoken for as well. That should probably be said. Yes.
Exactly. You know, but hey, if everybody's
How about
on.
Tim taking a wife on that 11-hour road trip, too? From Lawrence to home. Yeah.
She's that's pretty good.
He had the wife with him.
It's a cool wife, right? I mean,
that's awesome.
For the wife to.
Still all these years later, right? Keeping, you know.
Yeah, I'd be trying to
go
get
out
the
on the road
away.
With you, honey.
I will always associate him with Southern SEC football and like old school Southern SEC.
I was telling Julie the same thing. Dude, him on the old Nolan Richardson Razorback games.
Yes.
Oh, man.
It's like etched in memory.
Grew up on it. Yep. Right. So hearing him takes you back to that and to your youth.
All right. We will come back. Lots more to cover on the show. We're going to be joined by Ryan McGee from ESPN. Got a new book out. Talk SEC college football with him. At 125, Jason and John, 92 FM, ESPN.
I'm United States Surgeon General Jerome Adams, America's doctor. And all across our nation, we've taken steps together to slow the spread of coronavirus. Now we must continue to take personal responsibility to protect ourselves and our loved ones. Because even though not all of us risk a severe case of coronavirus, we all risk getting it and spreading it to others, maybe without even realizing that we're sick. So if we want to get back to school, back to work, back to worship, and back to overall health. There are things our country needs to do. We need to follow state and local guidelines, take extra precautions if at higher risk, wash our hands frequently, stay 6 feet from others when we can, and when we can't stay 6 feet from others, please, I'm begging you, wear a face covering. These small actions will make a big difference. So I'm asking you to say it with me, America. Coronavirus stops with me. You can learn more at coronavirus.gov.
Produced by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services at taxpayer expense.
If you were lied to when buying a timeshare and worn out, you need my help. Hi, I'm Chuck McDowell, CEO and founder of Wesley Financial Group. 10 years ago, I started the timeshare cancellation industry by exposing the ugly truth about timeshare and giving folks the straight facts. I've been fighting the timeshare giants ever since, so no one knows this industry better than me and my team. Today, we have 383 employees and have saved our clients an average of $65,000 in lifetime payments. Imagine putting those timeshare dollars back in your pocket. If you were told at a timeshare presentation that this was available today and today only, that timeshare was a great investment, or your maintenance fees will never go up, call my office now. I guarantee if we take you as a client, we will cancel your timeshare or you'll pay nothing.
Call now for your free information kit. 800-949-1441. 800-949-1441. 800-949-1441.
Have you ever wondered what's inside your air ducts? Hi, this is Lauren Choate with Choate's Air Conditioning, Heating, and Plumbing. If you are one of many who suffers from bad allergies, especially in the Mid-South, and would like to improve the indoor air quality of your home, then Choate's Air Duct Cleaning could be a solution for you and your family. Air Duct Cleaning has been proven to help people with allergies and other respiratory issues by removing buildup of debris from your home's air supply. Air Duct Cleaning will also help eliminate dust from building up in your house. Therefore, you don't have to dust as much either. And Air Duct Cleaning is also shown to help improve the performance of your air conditioning and heating system. Choate's is the name you can trust for all your indoor air quality needs. So call Choate's today at 755-4797 or visit our website at choateshvac.com to schedule a free video inspection to help you breathe a little easier. And remember, Choate's, let our family serve your family.
Now, back to the Jason and John Show. Jason Smith and John Martin on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis' sports station.
Football is here. You know what that means. No better place to get in on all of the action than with DraftKings. They're the leader in one-day fantasy sports, and they are putting you in the center of the action with two shots at a $1 million top prize. So get in on that action now. Making it rain with DraftKings is really easy. You draft your team. You stay under the salary cap. You pile up points for yards, touchdowns, and so much more. They're also giving away a share of up to $100 million in prizes to all users who enter their free football survivor pool. All you have to do is sign up for DraftKings, enter their survivor pool, and you'll instantly get a share of up to $100 million in giveaways. With all this cash up for grabs, there is no better place to get in on all of the action than with DraftKings. So download the top-rated DraftKings app now. Use promo code WMFS to get a free shot at a million-dollar top prize. And for a limited time, get your share of $100 million in prizes once you enter DraftKings free survivor pool. That's promo code WMFS to get in for a limited time only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Other terms and conditions and eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. All right, so we are continuing to react to the situation with Memphis football. Ryan Silverfield has addressed a number of things, including the report itself, said it was not a party bus, said it was an extended van operated by family members of some players who were driving in, I'm assuming, from out of town and wanted to, you know, do it right. You know, it might not just be, you know, people say Sprinter van, right? That's a Mercedes. That's what Penny has. That's what RJ Hampton has. It might be like the Ford version. It doesn't have to necessarily, in the Ford version and
oh,
a
when
Sprinter.
They say Sprinter, that necessarily, that means it's the Mercedes version. Ah.
Yeah.
Okay.
In my mind, maybe somebody else doesn't think that, but like when I think Sprinter van, I think Mercedes.
I was just thinking long man. That would form under that, you know, that style.
Yeah, I believe it's only.
That's only.
Yeah,
Mercedes.
Sprinter van is only.
I remember
Mercedes.
We were saying about a Penny's Penny van.
Yeah,
Penny
that
was,
but that's a Mercedes.
How much we were buzzing about that one?
Oh, dude, we had the guy that did it.
We had the dude that tricked it out.
Yeah.
On
from Kansas City.
Basically pimped it out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He was talking about coming on and doing some endorsements. That's how hot it was back then,
that
boy.
Was cool.
You could just tweet Penny Van, thing go viral.
Oh, remember we did the experiment. We just tweeted names. You tweeted Mike Miller and got like 500 likes. I tweeted Tony Matlock, got 500 likes.
We were buzzing. The whole city was buzzing.
It's never been like that before, man. Maybe
now
one day.
Now we're back on a van.
But now, yeah, now we are.
For the wrong reasons.
We're back on a van. We are back on a van. Ryan Silverfield did address that, but he also had some commentary on the media. And I recognize that, you know, he's probably very frustrated by the things that happened over the weekend. This is what Ryan Silverfield had to say today.
Next, as a reminder, is our policy with our football program that media members do not directly contact our student athletes. Any questions should be reached directly to Tammy or Jen regarding this matter. It's unfortunate that some of you are not adhering to this. Also, any story that you're not 100% sure about the truth that may be detrimental to our program, please reach out directly to me. I'm grateful for our local media and your support. I want to work together with you guys so we can share with the wonderful program with everybody that cares about it.
So there you go.
there is Ryan Silverfield
on. Is he talking about you?
No, dude.
You tried to contact some of his players, try to go around Tammy?
Not at all. No, I can promise you that's I'm the last person that he's talking about in this particular instance. I actually have never really done that. I did that probably when I was like getting into the business, you know, trying to make when I because I was like their age, right? Like so, I was trying to like make friends with like the guys on the team when I was like 18, 19. But no, I don't. I definitely do not try to circumvent the program. I have a good relationship with Ryan, obviously, but I don't want to pile on, honestly. That's what I don't want to do because mm-hmm. we've been in this situation on this show, right? Like, it happens. But you know, that is something that Silverfield did say. And, you know, I tend to think that there is, you know, he feels like there was possible damage done, you know, and that's, I think, for him is why he's frustrated today.
Damage done to his program.
Yeah.
Well, do you think the heart thing is related to that, maybe? The loss of a player, possibly? You know, do you guys think that's related?
Well, we haven't talked much about that.
I don't know. I have no clue.
Hart is opting out of the season.
Yeah, I have no.
And he's the third player. We touched on in the open, but we haven't spoken in terms of this outbreak. In terms of now, we've seen two opt out since this news is out.
Yeah,
right?
Since the news.
We haven't discussed in terms of if there'll be more that kind of thing. Do we think it's? I did ask John if we thought it was a trend. He shot down there in that first segment, but there is that side of this too. Is because of the number of, which I don't think we'll have officially, doesn't sound like Silverfield put a number on it. But if that number is further, you know, it's concerning, scary.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.